The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Welcome to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. This is a show that gives you the opportunity to email me and ask me a question about law or any subject for that matter. And my email address is commonlaw, spelled out with the letters number 7, letter B behind it, at gmail.com. Send me an email, ask me a question, and I'll be happy to respond to you. I still don't have any emails. I think I've gotten one just saying I did a nice job, but I've never had a question, believe it or not. I would think that y'all would have a few. You notice at the intro to this show, they call it an opinion show. They say that my opinions are not necessarily those of this station, and so I guess that means it's an opinion show. So I think this show, you're going to get some of my opinions after the break, because I've got a few. Some things are bugging me, and I'm tired of just being nice and quiet about it, so we'll talk about those later. Before we go to break, though, I had a couple little things that I just recently learned. I bet some of you maybe knew this, but I didn't know this, that in our state, it used to be illegal if you were passing somebody on a two-lane highway, you still couldn't break the law and speed and get a ticket. Well, now, apparently, I guess it's been this way for 2 or 3 years, maybe more, and I didn't know, you can exceed the posted speed limit by up to 15 miles an hour if it's necessary to make a safe pass. Like if you think you're running out of turn lane or passing lane and you need to get around somebody, you can do that. And I didn't know that. It does not apply to, though, like if you're on the freeway or on two lane divided, like on 95, and you've got that guy who just doesn't know how to use his cruise control. You know, he's going 55, he's going 70, and then when he passes you going exactly 0.01 mile an hour faster and hangs out next to you, which is a very dangerous situation. What I usually do is just floor it and go 90 for a while and get away from him. But anyway, I didn't know that. I thought that was pretty interesting. And one other thing before we go to the break I want to talk to you about is Idaho's Attorney General race. And I am not running for Idaho Attorney General. So I think I can tell you what I think who you ought to vote for, because I don't work for the guy. I'm not part of his campaign. I'm in no way affiliated with him at all. His name is Lance Wasden. He's your current Attorney General. And that's who you got to vote for. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it a bunch. I'm going to say it in this show, and I'm going to say it in every show until the general election, Lance Wasden. That who's you want for your attorney general. That's who you have right now. And why do you want him? He's very conservative, and none of his conservative ideals infect his job as being Idaho's head lawyer. He is the guy who just told your state legislature that the abortion bill they just passed is unconstitutional and they should not pass it, but then they pass it anyway. And I don't know the man, but I'm pretty confident he is definitely anti-choice. But he doesn't care. That's who you want in your public offices, is people who don't allow their own personal moral views of things to influence how they act and what they do when they're in office. Lance Wasden does not do that. He is universally respected by almost every member of the Idaho State Bar, liberal, conservative, alike. It doesn't matter. And there's almost nobody you can say that about in this world, that everybody thinks that he is the guy for the job. So when you vote, vote for Lance Wasden. And one last thing before break is, I know this, but I found out recently that a lot of people don't, and I don't know if you ever listened to The Doors, but they have a song called L.A. Woman, and in it, there's a line that says, Mr. Mojo Rising, and most people I've come to discover think that as some reference to your mojo, like Austin Powers' mojo. Well, it's not. It's an anagram. It is the rearranging of letters to make a different word, and the word was Jim Morrison. And so that was just, I like to throw out what I consider to be interesting bits of trivia. My wife tells me that most of you probably don't think it is as interesting as I do. But anyway, next time you're at a party and that's on, you can just bust that out and let everybody know how smart you are. And with that, I think we'll go to our first break. This is Common Law 7B. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. Sorry about that. It's allergy season once again. Looking forward to it. I love feeling like I have a hangover when I don't. I use those powered neti pots. I can't remember what they're called now for some reason. Navage, I think. If you have sinus issues or allergy issues, I strongly recommend you give it a try. It seems to help me quite a lot, like after I mow the lawn and go in there and do that and do a couple shots of nose spray. Anyway, sorry, I digress. My email is commonlaw7b@gmail.com. Please send me an email. Give me something to talk about, or you're just going to have to sit there and listen to me, which I guess is what we're going to do today. Real quick, I'll also tell you about the Attorney General race. The other two gentlemen running are Raul Labrador. I'm sure that name's familiar to you all. He was our state representative. And the other one is a guy named Art Maycomber. Now, I know Art from practice of law down in Coeur d'Alene. There's only three Arts in the whole town that are lawyers, and he's one of them. And he seems to be a decent lawyer, and I don't mind visiting with him. I've got to say, some of the stuff he's putting out seems to be a little bit baiting, sort of like Fox News baiting is what I call it, where you're not really talking about issues. You're just trying to get people to be afraid of whoever the other person who's running. So I'm a little disappointed in that. But again, I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm saying vote for who you want. What I'm telling you is I'm going to vote for Lance Wasdin. And I'm telling you that given what I do for a living and given how our government is supposed to function, he seems to be an extremely competent, conservative person. And I think he should keep the job and stay in the job. Anyway, but it's an opinion show. So here's my first opinion. Let's talk about Ukraine. I mean, why not? Everybody else is. Because that's what they're doing to distract you so they can, again, control you. I heard that the other day. I'm like, what are you talking about? And speaking of control, what are all these folks going to do now that these mandates are gone? I think it was Jimmy Fallon. He was pretty funny. He said, yeah, the truckers are circling D.C. even though the mandates are all gone and gas is $5 a gallon. Brilliant. I mean, that's just super. I don't know what you're all going to do, all these people that think somehow by complaining about wearing a mask, you're a patriot. I don't know how that makes you a patriot, but that you're going to have to find something new to latch on to. But anyway, back to Ukraine. I am just shocked at the Republican Party's response to what Putin is doing. And people in general who support, or I guess I call them Putin excuse makers. I have blown away. I mean, never in my life did I think that Tucker Carlson would be like required programming on Russian state television. I mean, what in the HE double toothpicks is that about? That, I mean, it's just ludicrous. Most of these people are Trumpers that think that are making these excuses for Ukraine. It's not normal conservatives, as I call, you know, conservatives, true conservatives. It's mostly Trumpers. The people that still support Trump, you know, you're rich or you're not really thinking because he is an idiot. Yep, I said it. I'll say it again. If you don't like it, let's see here. There's four chairs in here. Come on down. I mean, I'm not mean. I won't ever tell you you're being stupid. I will, but you're not ever going to get away with saying anything and not backing it up. All we hear is conclusions these days. We don't hear anything about how we got to those conclusions. And by goodness, if you ask them that, that's really confusing. For example, the other day I was talking to a friend of mine about nothing in particular, and they said something about Biden being stupid. And I said, well, what's he done that you think is stupid? Was his infrastructure package that he finally got passed that Trump chirped about for 4 years and did nothing, didn't even get started on it? Was that a bad move? I think everybody pretty much universally agreed that was a good move. Of course, everybody, you know, is against having childcare maybe somehow addressed, you know, but we're going to force you to have babies, but we're not going to educate them, and we're not going to give you any ability to possibly work because it's too expensive to have your kid taken care of. I mean, I don't understand why the business people, you know, the conservatives don't see that if you don't make it so somebody can go to work, if you have two people that one of them has to stay home, well, they can't work, you know, and maybe that's a good thing. In the 50s, when one person could make enough money to support the whole household. Well, that's not what's happening right now. I think we all pretty much acknowledge that. So both parents have to work, except in limited circumstances. And basically, childcare is so prohibitively expensive, it's cheaper for one parent to stay home. I mean, this isn't about welfare, folks. This is about our economy. And everybody's just so short-sighted to get so hung up on giving away freebies to people that they don't really think about what they're doing. I had somebody complaining about the stimulus payments during the pandemic. You're just going, what was your plan? You think that we should just kick everybody out on the street? What kind of a crisis would that have created? I mean, it's just, you know, you can't just say the government shouldn't ever do anything. Because we don't, none of us think that. We don't, obviously, we don't think that. We have police. Remember, this is always a matter of degree. Everybody believes in some government. Some people want less and some people want more. Some people think the government can help. Some people think the government can help some, but most of the time they're not really a help. It's all a matter of degree. It's the same stupid debate that's been going on since Hamilton and Jefferson for over 200 years. So stop pretending like this is something new and we're so divided. I'm just tired of that nonsense. Anyway, so you ask them what Biden's done wrong. What do they got to say to you? They don't know. You get a blank stare. They don't have anything to back up what they don't like. And then they just say, oh, he's old. Well, he's only 4 years older than Trump, folks. And I don't think anybody who's been doing what Joe Biden's been doing for so long is probably stupid. I think a whole lot of them there are unbelievably dumb. Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, Graham. I mean, those guys are moron hypocrites. And if you don't care that they're hypocrites, well, I don't know what the, there's no help for you. But, you know, so, okay, well, what do I don't like that Trump's done? Well, I have a list. Let's see. Let's start with the first one. He's a pig of a human being. He is a jackass and nothing to be proud of. And his behavior has empowered a whole bunch of other jerks to just be openly jerky and think that it's just fine. So I guess if you like Trump and you don't like what I've been saying, well, you shouldn't be offended. I'm just saying what I think. And if you like Trump, yeah, you're rich or you're scared or lazy or stupid or something, because the guy is a clear and present danger to this country. Let's see, number two for Trump. Well, he passed a massive fiscally irresponsible tax cut for corporations. There's no excuse for this. It didn't help the economy other than perhaps some incremental benefit of providing a few extra jobs because companies may have felt a little more comfortable expanding. What's that called? Oh, trickle-down theory, aptly named. Trickle is what that gets. You got a big old pool of money that goes to the shareholders and a little bit of it trickles down to the workers. Oh, yeah, you got your $500 bonus at Walmart. Well, that's to keep you from storming the Capitol. Just to go buy your Xbox and quit paying attention. Remember, they can't give you a raise because they've got extra money. If they do that, their shareholders sue them because they only pay you what the market demands you be paid. They can't pass it along, and they won't. Which, on that topic, this idea that the government would even consider repealing our gas taxes without at the same time making it required that that savings get passed on to the consumer, that's what they were talking about doing. It sounds about as smart as in the Great Recession of 2008 when they gave the banks all this money to spark the economy and then they didn't force them to lend any of it. And so they sat on it. And then when the interest rates came up just a little bit, then they started lending a little bit more. That's the kind of your tax dollars at work. And on a quick side note, speaking of your tax dollars at work, I don't know if you all saw this thing with Bonner County. I'm going to come back to that one. I'm going to wait till after the break. It's just about giving away money. I mean, I thought this whole thing in this county was being fiscally conservative. The county's just giving developers giant piles of money. But we'll get back to that. Anyway, I didn't like Trump's tax cut. What else did he do? Oh, he started a trade war with China because he didn't like how the Chinese were treating our business people who were voluntarily engaging with them. I don't think we should rescue people who choose to hike in Iran either. Don't go there. If you don't like it, don't do it. If they're doing it voluntarily, then don't start a trade war to protect them from something they're voluntarily doing. You hurt everybody else to protect them, and it actually accomplished zero. He threatened to withhold military aid from Ukraine unless he investigated Joe Biden's kid. And you don't think that's what he did? That is rubbish. I mean, that's just twisting your stuff in your head to get to the result that you want. He said, first you need to do something for us. Or for me, actually, I do believe is what he said. He said first. Now, if he would have said, that stuff's a given, it's on the way. Now, moving on to another topic. Sure, whatever. He didn't do that. He's using his position to try to stay in power, which is what they're all doing, which is why they're all passing laws, making it really hard to vote based on some lie that there's some sort of election fraud that occurred that there's no proof of. Why would it be illegal for me to give a bottle of water to somebody standing in the heat of Georgia to vote? Why? What possible motivation is there for that law? I mean, at least in Idaho, they did some stuff. And finally, when they started to talk about mail-in ballots or ballot boxes, you know, the disabled and the old folks finally said, enough's enough. I mean, it's just rubbish. Anyway, what else did he do? He normalized violence against those with differing political ideals. Speaking of violence, Will Smith, he should have his Oscar taken from him. I don't care how mad you are. You don't slap people, especially him, Mr. Peace, Love, whatever. Anyway, sorry. He lied to the public, American public, I don't know, probably three times a day. I don't know what, 10,000 lies? And you say, well, they're not all lies. You know, it's just him talking. Well, yeah, that's also a problem when the leader of the free world talks without thinking. Let's see. What else is there? So, I don't know. I got a few problems with Trump. I'm not saying I'm a huge fan of Biden either. I think there's a whole lot of different things he could have done. But the point is, you don't follow these guys blindly. I don't know when everybody started worshiping people and not worshiping our system. Our system is what we worship. If you want to worship an ideal, that's fine. If you want to say, I define myself as a physical conservative, I don't think that the government should be more involved. I think it should be less involved. That's not Trump. I mean, why are you guys worshiping him? How did this fellow become the hero of the poor people, of all people in the whole world? Anyway, I think we're about getting close to our next break. So thank you for listening to me. I know my wife will really appreciate me getting this off my chest. So we'll head to a break right now. This is Common Law 7B. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Common Law 7B. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. I've been, I guess, spewing my opinions today about what's going on. I hope I've not offended anybody, but if I have, I hope you stop and think. You need to all slow down and think about why you believe what you do. And nobody's doing that. They can't, you know, just ask anybody why they hold an opinion, and 90% of the time, they can't really tell you. They just are holding these opinions. And anyway, back to what I was talking about real quick, the inflation thing. That's the one thing I do. Everybody seems to be blaming Joe Biden for this inflation, which is just completely, I'm sorry, stupid. Let's see. 2 years of pent-up demand, an economy that's heating up, supply chain issues, and some lunatic in Russia with a bunch of missiles who's getting his butt handed to him on the world stage by a little teeny tiny country. You don't think just maybe those things could combine to cause inflation? Or do you think that one person actually is? I mean, first of all, I don't, especially now in retrospect, I really don't blame the pandemic on Trump anymore. I mean, I think that I don't really agree with how he handled the beginning. He should have been obviously a lot more forthright with the information he had, like he knew it was airborne long before anybody else did. But in retrospect, I don't know that anything would have changed the course of this, save China perhaps being a little more forthcoming with information when they could, which they didn't, and that's just how they roll. But I don't blame him for that. And I don't, you know, I also don't give him credit for the economy that we had before it occurred. I mean, again, I'll tell you, just do your research, jump online, look at the economy, the economic, there's a number of indices you can look up. After the recession of 2008, it's just been going up at about the same pace the entire time, right up to the pandemic. So nothing Trump did, nothing Obama did, nothing any of these people did changes anything. The economy is going to do what it's going to do. The Fed is the one that lets it heat up or cool down, which, you know, I think the only reason they haven't raised interest rates, which is what you do if you want to slow down the economy, you jack interest rates, which is what they did in the early 80s. I don't know if any of you out there can remember 15% 30-year mortgages on your house. I don't know how anybody owned a house. But that's one way to do it. I don't know if that would work in this situation. Because I don't know that, you know, that's what you do when the economy's really rolling and that's what's driving prices. Well, we've got a lot of other factors out there. You know, raising interest rates could only make things a whole lot worse. But, you know, that's, economics is no different than looking at your crystal ball. It's like playing the stock market, which was described to me by one of my finance professors as driving a car by looking in the rearview mirror. which is pretty apt, I think. My landlord is a guy who works in that area, and I always ask him how his casino's coming. Oh, it's not a casino, he says. And I say, well, if you put your money in and you hope to get more money out, that sounds like a casino to me, especially when you don't do anything to earn the money. But speaking of inflation, you know what I'd do? I would take the gas tax on non-commercial vehicles and I'd triple it. Yeah, make it really hard and expensive for your average person to just use their car like I do. I'm just as irresponsible as everybody else. My office is like 0.8 miles from my house. You think I ever ride my bike there? Well, once in a while. You've seen me. It's that goofy three-wheeled electric bike that I have old people pull me over and ask me where I got it. But it's handy. I go to the grocery store in it and everything else. But I am going to get a different one. But if you push prices for non-commercial vehicles high enough, we'll change our behavior. And we need to change our behavior. And maybe we don't need to necessarily change our behavior as much as, say, perhaps the railroad needs to change their behavior. We have tracks all over the country. You can go to just about anywhere on a railroad, but you can't get anywhere on a railroad. I mean, if you want to get on the train at 11 o'clock at night and go over to Seattle and get off the train in the morning and go shopping and get back on the train and get off the train in the middle of the night again, you can do that. But you just it's more expensive than flying, which is completely ludicrous. And the railroads, you talk about a steal, the hosing of the American public. They got all that land for free in exchange for building these railroads. And the idea would be that they could then use them to earn back their investment. I am pretty sure that's occurred. And so they didn't like having to haul people, and then they made the deal of the century called Amtrak. And so now the railroad's making money hand over fist. Amtrak goes nowhere in the West, as near as I can tell, where we need trains more than any other place because it's huge. And the railroads are just killing it. I mean, would it be that complicated to have a rail line that went from here to Coeur d'Alene, Coeur d'Alene, Spokane, some big loop? Wouldn't that be cool to hop on the train and just get off the train in downtown Spokane, do some shopping, have some dinner, come back home? You know, when my mom lived here, she went from Sandpoint to Spokane every day on the train to paralegal school. And that would be hopefully one thing that would happen is people would say, this is not fair. The railroad's making a pile of money and we're having to drive everywhere we go when, you know, I don't know if any of you have been out there, been to Europe. I'm sure some of you have. It's really cool. You want to go to a different town, you hop on a train, you get right off in the middle of town. But we have all of that to do that. But they just won't because they can't make any money doing that, which is why they got the Amtrak deal. So, yeah, I think that gas prices should stay high. It's hard on everybody. I get it. But I think that it's, you know, it would motivate the oil companies to come up with some other alternative, which I think they already have. There's my conspiracy theory. I even have my own. The guy who hates conspiracy theories has his own. But mine are generally based in some sort of rational plan, which is if these oil companies have an alternative to fossil fuels, why would they bust it out now? I mean, you got everybody on the nipple of the oil and you're making tons of money. There'd be no reason to bust it out. Mark my words, when we finally get to the tipping point, when people finally say we're tired of having all these trees ripped down, and even if it's not the reason, it'll happen. I mean, at some point they're going to blame it. Eventually enough people will blame it on global warming that they'll do something about fossil fuels, even if that's not causing it. And when that happens, guess who's going to bust out the miracle cure? It'll be the oil companies, because they're not dumb. Why would they not invest the billions and trillions they make in some alternative and then just sit on it until they need it? And I'm not necessarily saying I judge them for that. That's the American way. That's business. But if we want to change it, we have to motivate them to do something different. And that's what motivate people by jacking the prices on things. I know that sounds not like a lot of fun. And I go back and forth to Coeur d'Alene, so this is not in my best interest to have that happen. But anyway, before the last break, I mentioned something about the county giving away money. And here's what I'm talking about. That development out there, it's at the head of Camp Bay. And I'm all for development. I don't see any, you know, it's just the way it is. And I know we got a lot of people around here, and I'm getting really sick of hearing it. Oh, it's Californians, everybody's coming here, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you don't like it, then buy it yourself. All right. Other than that, be quiet. I mean, that NIMBY nonsense drives me, not in my backyard. That's what NIMBY means. It just drives me nuts. You know, if you want to park in your backyard, then buy the land. Otherwise, get over it. I mean, they're going to come here. You can't stop them. And, you know, if you want to protect it, you know, get a hold of the Kinnexu Land Trust. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're out there buying things so people can't do this. But anyway, back to what I was talking about, the development. Is at the head of Camp Bay, and there is a public road right dead smack in the middle of it. And that public road, I think it was dedicated around the turn of the century. And if I saw the grant of the easement to create it, and I can't remember, but I think it pretty much reads to the ordinary high water mark of Lake Ponderay. Well, when the grant was written, that is elevation 2051. Our lake level in the summer, if you don't know, is 2062.5, which, anyway, that's a, hold on, I'll come back to that one too, the Army Corps of Engineers. Anyway, but the grant says it goes down to the ordinary high water mark. Well, if the lake's at 2062.5, just like the streets in downtown Sandpoint, in South Sandpoint anyway, go all the way into the river. Well, because in the spring, the river was, you know, a river. There wasn't what it is now. There was a channel, and they used to farm out there. And so the streets went all the way out there. So I always wondered, thought it'd be a pretty cool, well, for a lawyer, not for anybody involved. Like those houses down at the end of Fourth, those two big, beautiful houses with the big, beautiful lawn right between them. You know, it's not going to show up in the title report that big, beautiful lawn's a public street. And that I can take my kayak down there and walk right through your yard and put it in the water. I think they may have fixed some of that. But anyway, so back to my story about this development and the county giving money away. This road is right in the middle of this development. So the developer came in and asked the county to vacate the road. Well, you can only vacate a public road if it's in the public's interest to do so. And, you know, I don't understand exactly. I think they said that it's public's interest because they were going to maintain the road, the developer was, which is, that's kind of silly. Think about the logic there. You have a public road that goes nowhere in the middle of a development. Do you think the county is going to spend a nickel maintaining it? No. So that's silly. And I don't know what else they said, but I think at the same time, the county was going to chip in to improve the road to the development. So I don't know, you know, what that was about. And granted, the reason, you know, the county will get a benefit from the development because it increases the tax base enormously, and I'm all for it. But I've worked with developers. I can promise you that the developer has a number in his head for that road that will make this project work, meaning they can pay X for that road and still go forward with the project. So why wouldn't the county make them just pay them for the road? And you can say, well, because you have to auction public property. I won't get into the ways around that, but there, in this case specifically, yes, they would not have to auction that. They could just flat out sell it. Furthermore, the county did initially vacate the road, and then that got challenged and got thrown out by the district court. And then they didn't vacate the road. Now the developer has sued them. Well, once you're in a lawsuit, when you're a public body, you can settle it any old way you want, meaning just pay me for the road. So anyway, my point is, real quick, is that the county was just going to give them the road. The county should have just said, fine, you can have the road, but we want this amount of money. Take that money and put it into public access. Right down at the end of South Camp Bay Road, there's a big chunk of federal property right on the water. You can improve South Camp Bay Road with the money and work a partnership with the feds and create a neat park right down there that is more than a 60-foot access. It would be a giant park. Anyway, we've got to go to our last break. This is Common Law 7B. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein, and we will be right back. Welcome back. This is Common Law 7B. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. Please send me an email, commonlaw7b@gmail.com. Surely somebody has a question out there. I mean, there's something I've not talked about, you've always wondered about. I just don't understand. And again, anybody who wants to come down here and chat with me, you're welcome. Really come on down. And I know I sound like I might not be fun to talk to, but I don't interrupt you. And I will let you speak exactly what you have to say. I will not call you names. I'm not going to call you an idiot. You know, and why I even say that stuff is to try to get any kind of a reaction, to get anybody to engage. You know, I'm trying to figure out how we can get people to disengage from whatever news station they're watching. You know, how do we do that? And because they're not going to change a channel. I mean, how do you get to somebody who's watching Newsmax to try to tell them the other side? They're never going to hear it. They're never going to listen. So I had an idea. This Tom Steyer guy, this billionaire who was going to run for president. Well, here's what I would do is I would create a website and you would create like a panel of, you know, each side of the normal debate, meaning like normal people, not neoconservatives, not idiots like Josh Hawley or Ted Cruz, but actual conservatives, you know, people more like William F. Buckley, you know, normal conservatives. And you get some normal liberals, or whatever you want to call them. I'm not sure what that even means, but on the other side. And then they can come up with the content for the website. Now, here's the deal, is you can win money on the website, but you got to pay attention. So while you sit there, you're forced to read, you know, what both sides agree they can tell you. For example, that one, yeah, the election wasn't stolen. There's no proof of that and blah, blah, blah. This is how we could get people to, like, I guess, just re-educate everybody, get people to slow down, get them to think. That's all I want of anybody, is to slow down and think. And if it takes sometimes calling you a name to get you to slow down and think, which seems counterintuitive, but apparently that's the only way anybody talks to each other anymore. But it's just, it's frustrating. It's really just like talking to my kid when she was younger. It's like, you can't just say that because it's illogical. You know, you can't just have an opinion and stick by it without any proof or basis for it and then be passionate about it and accuse the other side of wanting to, you know, teach your children things you shouldn't know. And speaking of that, I don't have much time, but I'll just whip it out there real quick. House Bill 666. Really, that's the number. And I think it's totally appropriate. because Hitler burned books, and I'm pretty sure he's as close to the Antichrist as we've come so far. House Bill 666. Let's see. What does it say? You can prosecute a librarian for disseminating, quote, harmful material to kids, or even making it available. Harmful. Yeah, that's great. What I want to do is get a dump truck, fill it full of books, pour a bunch of diesel on it, light it on fire, and dump it on the Capitol steps. And then I bet you these idiots would come out and dance around it and start throwing more books into it and think it was a great time. It's just absolutely sickening. The Party of Freedom, the Republican Party, passing censorship laws that are so ambiguous. I'm almost sure there's a whole bunch of people in this state that would sue a librarian for talking about the Holocaust or putting books about the Holocaust out there, because that would be harmful to their children. I mean, I'm just absolutely blown away. And again, of course, it's unconstitutional, but they don't care. You know, they pass bills that say, if we don't like what a federal judge says, we don't have to follow it. Yeah, that's really enforceable. I mean, grandstanding. Same guy is really proud of the Republican who, at the Judge Jackson's confirmations hearings, basically apologized to her and said, sorry that these idiots have taken this opportunity to grandstand and really don't have anything to say about what you've done. And never mind the fact that all of them thought she was just fine for the Court of Appeals. And Court of Appeals judges make a heck of a lot more law than the Supreme Court. But anyway, that's what House Bill 666 is. And if you think that's, you know, okay, well, then, you know, maybe you should go hang out with Putin in Russia. He controls everything they see. And, you know, if that's where we belong, then if that's the way you truly think. Me, I can see the marching hammers. That's what I see. That's a Pink Floyd reference, in case those of you out there don't know. But anyway, what's the other thing they did? Oh, the abortion bill. Yeah, they just took their first steps towards the end around of your constitutional rights. Remember, I don't know, it was a couple shows ago. I don't know when it was. When we're talking about that Texas bill where, you know, they basically empower a private citizen to deprive you of your constitutional rights because the state can't do it. Again, folks, that kind of behavior is not limited to abortion rights. It can be applied to any other constitutional right. And okay, it's fine in Idaho right now. What if the shoe's on the other foot? I would love it, you know, if Sandpoint would pass a ban on open carry and you'd allow me to prosecute you for doing it. I really don't care if you open carry. I don't understand it, but, you know, whatever, if it makes you feel better. But, you know, why wouldn't they? I would. A lot of people, that makes me uncomfortable. Well, not me, but some people, a lot of people, it really does. So why wouldn't you just say, hey, if that's making you uncomfortable, you can just go ahead and sue them. So, and maybe that's why the neoconservatives, that's what I'll call them. Because I don't want to call them conservatives, because they're not. You know, conservatives are people you can respect. You can respect somebody for having an opinion in line with conservative ideals. These people are none of the sort. Idaho's not conservatives. Physically conservative, they are not. They pass bills, they get sued, they lose, they waste your money just to show off. That's not fiscal conservatism. It's not fiscally conservative to outlaw marijuana and continue to prosecute it when everybody in the state's driving across state lines and giving all their tax dollars to another state. When you are selling booze and you're the only one who can do it, you being the state. And you're making money off alcohol, but not marijuana. I mean, it's rubbish. Anyway, we got to wrap it up. Thanks for listening to me rant and rave. I promise you next time I will have some more practical stuff to say. But I just, every now and again, have to get it off my chest, people. Again, I really am sorry if I offended you by telling you if you think Trump's an okay guy and he should be president, you're really a moron. But you are. And I'm sorry about that. Anyway, see you next month. Have a great week, and we will talk to you then. CommonLaw7B@gmail.com. Thank you, and bye-bye.